Blog Talk Radio.
We're going to try this one more time. One more time. Let's give this a go. Like I said, welcome to the show. This is CLR. What are things that we found out? Big things to do whatever the hell he wants to do. God's claim is me. Can he play? Got a quote about that picture. Today, the wonderful Kyle Fleeger comes on and he talks to us. With the guns, the NBA, all that stuff. And tomorrow, guys, big beat for you. Alexis Robinson. Publishers and curators, Diamond into your heart. She is going to be live with us because we're broadcasting live from tomorrow from the girls. Now, it is a special showtime. It will be at 11 a.m. Arizona time, 2 hours early. And she's in with us on location. So, not sure how calls will work in there. So, if you do call and I can't get you, I apologize in advance. But, interesting. Alexis Robinson, sports publicist, curator. But yes, and like I said, tomorrow we will be at Maduro's Live tomorrow and Tobacco. And we are brought to you by Maduro's Live and Tobacco and located at Alma School and Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there. If you come down while we're there, they'll take 15% off of any cigar that you purchase. Some restrictions, so check when you get there. But otherwise, it's always 10% off when you mention PLR and The Cave Show. Become a club member, get a lock and a backflip to a humidor, and never worry about sticks going bad. That is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Some television's up there for you to watch. Watch your favorite sports shows. definitely come and check us out. Again, that is Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Normal School in Chandler Heights in good old Chandler, Arizona. Here are some of the topics we have going on. I still have this issue with baseball not signing guys in the winter where you can market them, but that's a whole other story. If you want to get into that, you can as well. Call in number 917-889-7828, Terry Lackey Law Line. Do have a call on hold. Thank you for your patience. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. Do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Hey, Paul. It's Lou. What a strange day it's been. I don't know where to begin. Should I begin with Williamson out of the injury or Jim Boeheim's crash? Oh boy.
That is great. You know what? And thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, Jim Boeheim,
sure.
Head coach of Syracuse forever, ran over someone and killed him. Obviously, more news about that coming, but I feel bad for the person that lost their life. And you feel bad for Jim Boeheim. I wonder what happened that, you know, I mean, that's not something that you hear every day.
No, and I didn't expect at all.
No, so
I mean, I'm just stunned.
His time was on, so we will, we'll see.
Yeah. And the other big news, of course, the much-anticipated hype game with Williamson with Duke versus North Carolina turned out to be a bust as he gets injured on the opening possession of the game. How do you like that?
Yeah, 30 seconds in, hurt his knee. And I've never seen anyone explode out of a shoe, though. He literally exploded out of his gym shoe. And I feel bad for the young man. You know, hopefully it's reported so far still as just a mild knee sprain. Don't know exactly when he's going to be back. Say that again?
That's what the report said.
Yep. Don't know exactly when he'll be back. But, Lou, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Have we seen his last game at Duke?
No, I don't think we have. I mean, it doesn't seem to be, I don't think it seems to be too serious right now. So I don't think we've seen the last of him in his Duke's playing days.
Should we have seen the last of his last playing days at Duke?
No, I think he wants to play out. I think he wants to play for the tournament and maybe give Duke a title before he goes pro. So no, I don't see that happening. He's not gonna. I think he's gonna play.
I am torn. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm torn. I feel two ways about that. I can understand.
Okay.
I can understand honestly if he played his last game, why he would have played his last game. Look, he has an insurance policy that will pay him $8 million if he's drafted anywhere after. And we believe he's going to be taken number one overall. Not only would he get over $25 million in guaranteed money, but he's going to sign about a $75 million, $100 million shoe deal. And I heard an argument earlier this morning as I was listening to someone's radio show. I don't even remember who, or otherwise I give them credit. But they made a point that, he's letting his teammates down. If he wins the national title, that's something I've never seen before. He'll never get that. And I just have all that. But I'm going to ask you this question.
Yeah.
Winning a national title for a player ever cash a check? Would it ever pay a bill?
To my knowledge, never.
Never. See, I understand the deal. And I understand if you commit to your team, you commit it to your team. And I'm all for that. You commit to it. You should stay with it. You should stick up for it. You should do what you do. But Joey Bosa didn't come back after he got hurt. He didn't want to risk getting hurt again. And I don't remember too many people looking side-eyed at Joey Bosa. This kid is giving Duke 30 games. And I love how people say, well, they gave him a 4-year scholarship. No, Lou, they gave him a 1-year scholarship. And if he comes back next year, they'll give him another 1-year scholarship. And he does owe it to his team to play hard. And I dare anyone to tell me to find a game that he didn't play hard. But I also think there comes a time where you got to start to look out for yourself. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't play. I think he should do whatever he wants to do. I'm just saying I'm not going to look side-eyed at him if he decides not to play.
Yeah, I still say, though, that he's going to come back in time for the tournaments.
Oh, so do I. I think he's going to keep playing. I'm just saying if we read tomorrow or next week, he's still hurt or he's not going to come back or he's uncomfortable or he's going to leave, I'm just saying I have no hard feelings towards him. I mean, Lou, stop and think about this for a sec. And I keep hearing people say college players get a free ride and they get uniforms and they get shoes. They get to eat at the dorm when they want. Okay, I understand that. But, Lou, let me ask you this question. Tickets were selling for $2,000, $4,000, so $10,000 for it. What is Zion Williamson benefit from that money for his hype?
Exposure.
And I'm going to ask you the question I asked about National Championship. Can he cash exposure?
No. Are they making such a big hype about him? You know, this was going to be like, you know, like the pinnacle of his college career, and it, you know, unfortunately, this happened.
Okay, so this is the pinnacle of his college career. Does that pay him anything extra?
No.
No. If he gets drafted in the NBA and as a number one pick, his salary doesn't change, it's slotted. If Judah isn't going to go, he was already. See, here's what I think the older generation doesn't understand when they talk sports. And I'm not talking about people that are cashing, I'm talking that talk sports and call into our shows. You can be an internet sensation and get paid nowadays. Here's a guy that was doing dunks on the internet in his games, and it was viral on YouTube. By him going to Duke, obviously, like you said, exposed a little bit more of him. But if he doesn't play another game for Duke, a gym shoe deal is not going to change the offering price that they were going to give him no matter what. Now, to the 60-year-old guy, to the 50-year-old guy that is, in L.A. or in Topeka or in Chicago or in Fargo, that is 100% by the book, they're going to say, well, he still has da-da-da-da-da-da. But to the Nike exec and to the Reebok exec and to the New Balance exec and to the Under Armour exec, they're going to sign the same shoe deal. They could care less because that 60-year-old dude, that 50-year-old dude in Chicago and L.A. and Fargo, they're not paying $120 for gym shoes anyway, unless they're buying it for their kids and sagging them. That's not the market. And I think that's what no one wants to understand and wants to admit. You're not the market for Zion Williamson if I'm saying his gear. So that's why I say I'm not looking side-eyed at him.
Yeah, I get it too, but I mean, still, you know, we were looking so forward to this, and it comes out to be, you know, a letdown.
It does, and you know what's really sad, Lou? It's a letdown because the kid was hurt. It's not a letdown for any other reason. The kid was hurt.
If he wasn't hurt, that would have been a much more closer game last night.
That wasn't even the top of the night.
Oh, yeah.
Led? Don't be misled. The top game of the night was ASU versus Stanford.
Okay, I get it.
Don't be misled. Don't let them fool you, Lou.
Well, maybe in your neck of the woods.
Maybe just for me. But I'll take it. It's all good.
Okay.
What else you got for me, buddy?
All right, well, let's see. Well, I'm catching up on the trade deadline of the NHL because that's on Monday. So, you know, I'm looking for that because the Capitals have taken the L.A. Kings forward, Hagelin, who just came to L.A. just only 4 months ago, and he's on his way out already.
And you are telling me, Lou, can I share something with you?
I know, the Kings are trash.
No. You've talked more hockey on this show in the last 15 seconds than we've talked all year.
How about that?
There you go. But if they do want to hear hockey, I know where they could tune, and I know when they could tune, and I'll let you tell them where they could tune on Saturday.
All right, but before I do that, any thoughts with the second half of the NBA season starting tonight? Because, you know, it begins. And, you know, the Lakers, you know, need all the help they can get. They're on the outside looking in, and, you know, LeBron needs to step up right now.
If LeBron wasn't on this team, we wouldn't even be talking about the Lakers being a 10th. And we're supposed to be getting a call in from Kyle Fleeger. He hasn't called yet, so I'm glad you asked so we could keep talking. If the Lakers were a 10 seed without LeBron James, we would be talking about how good these young kids are playing and how they're a 10 seed and they have a shot to make the playoffs. Because LeBron is there, we're talking about what a failure these young kids are and how the whole – everything will shift if LeBron misses the playoffs. See, I never did, Lou, and I don't know if you go back with me on this one, but – before the season tipped off, I said it then, and I'm going to say it now. And I keep hearing, well, look at where they were before LeBron got hurt. Look at before. Okay, I understand all that. I really do. But I've said from the beginning, this is a team that will fall somewhere between a 7th seed and a 10th seed. So nothing to me that's happened to them is a surprise. Maybe I'm the only person that didn't think a 34-year-old man playing in another season, in his 16th season, that after playoffs has really played in 19 NBA seasons, that hasn't, in all honesty, played a lick of defense in the last year and a half until the playoffs, and even that was sporadic, was going to go to a team full of a bunch of young guys who he does not like to play with, who he's basically told he doesn't want to play with, we're going to do well. So, to me, the second half of the season is just the same as the first half of the season. Lakers will struggle. Golden State will do well. Milwaukee will do well. Philadelphia will go as far as Embiid's health will allow them. Boston will be better in the playoffs. And Toronto will be a tough out in the East. In the West, I love James Harden. I think he is an ASU guy. I love him for that. His team will struggle, not just because I believe he dominates the ball too much, but they just don't play good enough defense, so I don't trust them. And everyone else is not ready. I think Denver's very good. They're not ready in the playoffs to beat Golden State. I think OKC defensively can give them a run for the money, but they need another score. I think Marquise Morris will help a lot. I just don't know if he's enough. Golden State wins the title. KD comes back. Boogie moves on. They find another free agent that will sign for minimum. And if everybody stays healthy, they win again next year. There it is. Just gave it all to you.
Yes. All right, so on that note, I'll give the number one more time. The number is 712-775-7035. The pin code, I should say, is 410-173, and then press the pound sign. And it's 4 to 6 your time on Saturday, 6 to 8 my time. Of course, when it goes to the spring of daylight savings time, it'll then be 3 to 5 your time.
Sounds good, buddy. Hey, I don't know if you caught it, but tomorrow we're on location at Maduro. Sometimes we have issues with the phones over there. And
yeah,
this one's also on 2 hours earlier.
Earlier?
So
it's 1 o'clock.
Earlier. Yeah, we're coming on at 1 o'clock your time. So if I don't speak to you, if we're having phone issues and we don't speak, have a great weekend. I'll talk to you Monday, and if we do speak, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, I'll be ready for my phone at 1 o'clock.
All right, buddy.
Just in case.
Take care now.
All right. Thank you.
Always good to catch up with Lou, good friend in the program. Anthony Davis. You thought I'd forget to talk about Anthony Davis? Okay, so here's the deal. Should they play him? Should they not play him? I think they should play him. And here's why. I think it sets the wrong precedent. Because if you allow him not to play, any player that demands a trade with 2 years left on his contract will know that he can do whatever he wants and you'll sit him and protect him. And mind you, I am a player's person. I am always generally on the player's side. But I think this is bad precedent. I really do. If you start resting players because you're protecting them from getting hurt and you're protecting your asset and you're protecting your trade value, let me ask this. What would stop Devin Booker, who signed a 5-year deal with the Suns, what would stop him from saying, you know what, I don't want to risk getting hurt. I want to be traded from the Suns. I don't want to be here anymore. See, I think if you go to the point of just starting to sit guys for a whole year, then don't pay them. See, I don't remember this. And I know I speak, you know, I just had this whole tirade on talking about stop thinking like a guy 50,000 years ago. But I will do this now. Do you ever remember a player in the NBA demanding a trade and then being rested if they didn't get traded? I just think this sets bad precedent. I do. I think if you do this, and according to Woj, he's going to play this Friday, but I think if you start sitting players that do this, this is bad. If he's legitimately injured, rest him. If he's not, don't. Bad precedent. Bad. Bad precedent. I don't know if you hear that howling wind around me, but it is coming down in Arizona. You don't get this weather. I'm not in Chicago anymore. Not in Chicago? Crazy. It's crazy.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
If you're a Suns fan, what do you expect right now? How do you look at this year? Do you look forward to 25 games? I mean, we played hard. Both teams played hard. I mean, what do you do? At this point, I guess I'm going to ask Suns fans, are you still watching the games? Because sometimes now I get the feeling fans are watching the games to complain about the game. But maybe I'm not just a person to ask. Online, listen, you got to work hard when you get Suns debate online. You got to work hard. It's my man, though, the one, the only, Kyle Fleegy. You know him as Fleegs. He's right here with us on the Cave Show, on the Carry Like It Online. It is always good to catch up with him. Knowing his Suns debate, we're having just a little bit of issue with this, so hang with me, Fleegs. I know you can hear me. I can't hear you just yet. Hang with us here. But he's going to come on. I want his complete opinion here. And I honestly believe the weather is what's messing with us and messing with our phone lines. Ask if he can. I'm not sure if he can hear me here. He's on. I got a message from him that he's on. We can't hear him quite yet, though. And I think it has a lot to do with the weather. But until we can, I see his mic come live, I'm going to keep talking. If you're a Suns fan, what do you do? Do you rooting for them to win? Are you rooting for them to lose to get a better pick? Do you, if they get the number one pick, do the Suns throw a draft party for the fans the second year in a row? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, are you happy to celebrate losing? And I'm going to have Fleegs dial up one more time because the line dropped him. Are you celebrating losing? Are you throwing a party for losing? And that's what I guess I'm trying to figure out. What are you rooting for? I mean, I can see it now. If the Suns win, fans will say, "Why are they winning games? You got the pick." But if they lose games, oh, here we go again. And I do have Fleegs on. Fleegs, you're on live. Cave Show PL.
Excellent.
Are you rooting for losses? Are you rooting for losers? And I know, don't tell me I'm rooting for Zion, because you may end up with the number three pick. But when you watch the games, what are you rooting for? Like, what are you cheering?
You know, for me, it's about cheering progress, I guess, at this point. You want to see the Suns create a defensive identity. I think we have a lot of people who we trust have talent on the offensive side of the ball. I think we just don't have any continuity on the defensive side of the ball. You really need to see the Suns start to climb up the rankings from the defensive perspective. As long as they're playing the worst shooting guard and one of the worst big men in the NBA on defense at the same time, and I'm obviously referring to DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker, you're going to have some serious problems winning basketball games. And so the only way we're going to ever have Devin Booker be a winner is if Devin Booker learns how to play defense. And, you know, that's just something that I watch every single game, and I just watch the defense. And, I hope that it seems like they're getting together a plan. I hope that they start to get some chemistry and continuity. But they just haven't. They've been terrible. And at this point, as you said, with the draft structure rewarding the worst five teams the same or the worst four teams the same, that's not great, right? That's a big problem. And so there is no extra value to being truly terrible like there was last year. And so the Suns have to really start considering the product they're putting on the court and the leadership in the front office, which you've heard me harp on multiple times. But it starts at the top, and I think our players are a reflection of their leadership.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say the Suns do end up with one of the four worst records in the league. I know last year the team never had they made a big deal that they never had a number one overall pick and ended up with, you know, winning a ping pong ball race to futility. Should the Suns throw another party? I know in terms of they make a couple dollars, you get fans there, you get some sound bites. But is it a good thing to throw a party to celebrate losing 2 years in a row?
Yeah, it's a little embarrassing. I think the only reason reason you'd throw a quote party again is if you did get the number one pick and you knew you were drafting Zion. You know, that's, I think everyone, like the ticket sales last night to watch Zion blow out his shoe and sprain his knee, they were saying we're upwards between $2,500 and $5,000 a seat for a college basketball game. It was insane. So I think the energy around Zion is infectious, and I think the Suns would need to embrace it if they did end up with the number one pick again. But if not, I don't think you can keep saying we're changing the franchise every draft when the franchise is worse every after every year.
Yeah, I'm with you with that. I do want to get your opinion on stuff other than the Suns, though. I want to talk about Anthony Davis, and excuse me, I'm not sure if you heard what I said before you got on air, or if we were having troubles with the phone. But my point with Anthony Davis, excuse me, is that I think it sets a bad precedent if you sit him. And here's why. If you start sitting guys with 2 years left on their deals to either protect them or protect you, you are doing a disservice to the fans that paid the money for that ticket. You are doing a disservice to other NBA players, because what you're basically saying to the rest of your team is, our best player has basically said, and since this is online, I'll say it, you're not shit, and we're not going to win anything, and we're not going to be playing with you guys when we're going to trade him and try to bring in some other players to help you get better than what a better player can help you get. And so we're going to rest him because we want to protect the asset. But you guys can go out there and get hurt, because if we move you, we're not going to move you for anything anyway. And I think that sets a bad precedent with someone with 2 years left on a contract.
Yeah, I think it's getting more prevalent. It's starting to get very strange. I mean, it's going to stop somebody from doing it a year after they sign a contract. You know, we talk about Steven Jackson as an example of this, but if you remember Steven Jackson, he signed a contract and 6 months later demanded a trade, and was super open about it and said, hey man, nobody else is going to pay me this amount of money. And so, you know, I think we're starting to get back to that level of player brashness when it comes to their contracts. And it's not good for the league. Definitely not good for the league to have Anthony Davis petition to sit out for the rest of the year. It's not good for the season ticket holders. It's not good for the weekend products. It's just not good.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen, if he wants to be traded, he could ask. If you walked in that office, if I was running the Pelicans and AD walked in my office and said, you know what, I don't want to be here, I want to have a decision for me, and because it was in season, I would say, you know what, you got to go out there and keep playing. We'll try to work behind the scenes for you. If something comes up, then we'll make the move. If it's good for us and it's good for you, we'll make the move, but we're going to look for us first. After the season in the summer, when you only have 1 year left on your deal, you know, then we'll really see what's going on. But as of right now, you're going to play. And I think that's how you handle it. I think they did a piss-poor job of that. And to me, it goes back to Cleveland. And everyone goes, well, Kyrie did the same thing. Well, I'm going to give Kyrie a little bit of a pass in this. Kyrie did it in the off season, so they had an opportunity to do some stuff. He didn't say it in the middle of a season, I want out. If you do it in the off season, the team really had an opportunity to say, no, you're going to come back and play, or dang it, we're going to move you. And they decided to move him. But in the middle of the season, you're bailing on everybody. They've taken down Anthony Davis's silhouette and everything. We've lost Kyle, but they've taken away the silhouette, the everything. It's like he's not there. But wait a second. He's still there. I don't get it. I don't buy it. I don't like it. And like I said, for someone who always sides with the players, I'm not siding with them on this one. It's not going to do it. And he's a Chicago guy. Not that that matters, because we know I'm never biased on anything ever. Want to touch on something in case we don't get Kyle back. I do want to get to this. It's the dumbest crap I've ever heard of in my life. The absolute dumbest crap I've ever heard in my life. And it comes from an organization that is known for generally being on top of everything. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, we know that AB wants out, and they basically said, you're out. He met with Mr. Rooney, owner of the team. He's gone. They've decided not to do anything to try to keep Le'Veon Bell. He's gone. We know that AB tweeted a little while ago, let's say about 3-4 days ago, that Ben Roethlisberger acts like an owner. Respect goes both ways. He acts like he runs the team. He can call anybody out he wants. We've heard all this. And AB is taking, you know, for his Instagram posts, for the things he said, he's taking shot after shot after shot after shot. But now we see why he said that. The Pittsburgh Steelers, according to general manager Kevin Colbert, or Colbert, questionable leader of the locker room, who has the freedom to publicly criticize teammates if he sees fit. He is the elder statesman and the Super Bowl winner. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there. He's done it. He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is not good enough to do this. Wow. Roethlisberger already feels he can criticize when warranted. But he won't abuse the privilege, and he'll criticize himself. Is this the same Roethlisberger that said he threw an interception because someone ran the wrong route? They didn't run it tight enough. This way Ben criticizes, and he'll add himself in. Man, if that Le'Veon Bell was here and he wasn't so concerned about his money and he wasn't so concerned about his livelihood, he wasn't so concerned about all this crap, we could do a lot better. And if AB would just run the routes that he's supposed to run and catch the balls that he's supposed to catch and do all this stuff, we'd be so much better. And if the line could just get on the same page and block and be more cohesive, as the defense could find a way to stop some people, we'd be great. Yeah, and I probably should throw a couple of better passes. But other than that, I was great. Outside of one or two things, I was good. But I need everybody else to do their part. See, that's how he criticizes himself. When you hear Tom Brady, and this is why he's the best quarterback in the league, probably of all time, when he criticizes, he always starts with himself. He doesn't say, well, my guys or my receivers have to do this, my receivers have to do that. He doesn't say that. I don't know, man. I think Pittsburgh's going to hell in the handbasket. And Kevin Colbert, by giving a guy who's already overtly sensitive in everything an opportunity and the green light to be even more sensitive, Kevin Colbert lost his mind, dude. He's a GM. I'm not. He knows what he's doing. Tomorrow, Alexis Robinson, sport publicist and curator, Diamond NPR, live with us at Maduro's. Special time, 11 o'clock. Fleegs had a terrible connection. I do appreciate him trying, though. Thanks, Fleegs. Called in via the carry like you long line. A man, Lou, good friend of the program, called in as well. Like I said, all calls me via the carry like you long line. At the Sports Cave, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and says always, always, always with K. SportsCave.com, again, always with K. Check it out. And you can get me on the Twitter, at PLR on Sports. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great Friday Eve. If you're in Phoenix, stay dry. If you're in Chicago, stay warm. If you're in Miami, stay happy. Don't I cry, Mr. TLR. This is Cave Show. Good Thursday to all of you.